I want to call the May 11th Amherst County Council meeting to order. First agenda is everybody to please silence their cell phones. And I'll explain the next two, B and C. We'll have the Pledge of Allegiance. We'll all rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. And then Mr. Thompson, I'll summon here to have the invocation. If you feel uncomfortable with either one of them and you wish to leave, you can step out and choose the ship that will retrieve you after we're through with the invocation and bring you back in. So if we're all out.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this and every day, Lord. We thank you for all the good gifts and grace that's been bestowed upon us. And Lord, I'd like to lift up the Biden family as they suffer a loss of a wonderful, knowledgeable man that he's keeping close to you, nourished, and cherished. And Lord, as we go into this meeting, we pray what is said and done here tonight to be a pleasing to you. Guide us and direct us and keep us safe. These things I ask in your name. Amen.
Okay. First item, Chief Schiffler. Get on deck, man.
All right. Good evening, everybody. How's everybody doing today? Mayor, yeah. How y'all doing today? Today is marks a good day, a bittersweet day for our department. Mr. Harlan, we call him Mr. Harlan. Major Harlan, who worked for our department for 17 years in the town, is retiring on us. It's been a pleasure to work with this gentleman. He has been absolutely, like I said the other night at the little dinner we had for him, he has been a very big piece of this puzzle for helping us move this department forward. He came in here many years ago, and he has been through a lot, and it's really good for him to leave at this point where we are really done a lot in the last couple of years for the department and getting us where we're at. He's going to be well missed by me. When I first got here, he being the number one guy, him being the number two guy, walking into somewhere and not really knowing the area, he reached out to me and said, listen, we'll work on this together and we'll get through it. And he was a person of his word. And he's just been an outstanding leader to these guys, and he's going to be well missed. I hate to regret that we have some things that we've ordered for you that we were hoping to have tonight, but unfortunately, they're not in. And I promise you I will have those to you as soon as possible. I feel bad about it, but they were ordered a month and a half ago, and they're just not in yet. But they will be here, the lady tells me, by hopefully next week. When Greg came to me and told me that he was retiring, I kind of just looked at him like, you know, lucky thingy, but I understand. He's like a lot of us in law enforcement. You know, our families at times they don't know anything different than what we do. And being called away at times and having to work birthdays and holidays, it's a tough profession. And this guy here he's been through it all. And my hats are off to you and his family for just being a class act for this town and in this department. So I appreciate you, man. You're more than welcome to come by and see us anytime. I'm trying to talk him into a part-time position. I think he told me, so I'm going to need a little time on that. But he's going to be well missed. But I appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
The 17 years of having the opportunity to work for the citizens of the town, and appreciate everything that everybody's done. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate you. So when you lose one, you got to pick up another, take that person's spot. And after a lengthy process in evaluating and going through a promotional process, which these guys were probably asking a lot of questions, like, what in the world is this guy doing? I was trying to make sure I made the right decision on what I did. Being in this spot, it takes a lot out of an individual to be in that spot, because you're on call 24/7, 365 days a year. And it was a very tough decision, a lot of hours spent on it. I called in a board which consisted of people of that rank, of the captain's rank, and I weighed very heavily on that decision. And even after the decision, I still thought hard and heavy on it, because everyone who put in for the job can do the job and is very capable. After the process was over and discussions were made, I said, I'm with Mrs. Carter, and let her know where I was leaning, what we were going to do. And at the end of the day, I'm proud to announce that Brandon Payne will be our captain. Anyway, Brandon has big shoes to fill. Brandon is a very capable young man. The leadership of this department in the future looks really well. The goal and intent of this department, my leadership, is to train my guys to make sure they're the next leaders of our agency. We good?
Congratulations. Thank you.
Brandon's worked hard, and like I said, I've seen earlier, everyone that put in for this position really could have done this. And we will work very hard in making sure that the shoes that he is filling will be filled and done in the best way possible for the citizens of the town and for our department. So last but not least, our vacancy. We had a hiring process that we had to go through, and honored, blessed to be able to pick up a gentleman that we were able to get from another department. This gentleman has been in law enforcement for 11 years. He started his career in the Lynchburg Police Department, moved over to the Sheriff's Department, where he started as a deputy, worked all his way up through the ranks, and leaving there as a lieutenant. Lots of experience, lots of training, what we're looking for. Class act guy, very well known in this area. His family's here. He was born and raised in this area, and I'm honored and glad to have him. Our next officer, Luther Rose. Official, the mayor is going to swear you in to the town for official duty, sir.
All right, so if you'll raise your right hand, repeat after me. I state your name.
I, Luther Rose.
Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States.
Do solemnly swear I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Virginia.
And the Constitution of the State of Virginia.
And the Charter of the Town of Amherst.
And the Charter of the Town of Amherst.
And I will faithfully and impartially discharge and perform all duties.
I will faithfully and impartially discharge all duties.
Incumbent upon me as a member of the Town of Amherst Police Department.
Incumbent upon me as a member of the Town of Amherst Police Department.
And this was for a term commencing on April 27th. You know, he got sworn in by the court before our meeting. And then according to the best of my ability, so help me God.
According to the best of my ability, so help me God.
You will sign right there, please, sir. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
That's all I have. Thank you guys. Appreciate you being here. Appreciate y'all coming to show up this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
Good job, sir.
All right. Next item on the agenda is Mr. Terrell Stinson. He's requested to come before council regarding a zoning ordinance. You're granted 10 minutes since you're on the agenda, Mr. Stinson. And this speaker will keep the clock.
Okay, so first of all, thank you, Mayor Tuggle, and honorary council members for allowing me to be here today and hearing my request for the consideration of zoning ordinance improvements related to accessory buildings in the town of Amherst. I've got some photos for your viewing pleasure. Probably give you a few more than you needed. Just take those and pass them around, please. Well, I'm not going to go 10 minutes. So I'm going to get you guys out here on time and a little early. So folks, the photos in your possession represent the visual presence and orientation of the structure that covers my RV to protect and optimize the vehicle's aesthetics and structural integrity. RV purchases of today are significant investments, just as any other vehicle are. We go in to buy a truck for ourselves or a car for ourselves, and we're seeing price tags upwards of $100,000 almost, and it's pretty scary. So you must put your vehicles in an adequate storage facility, keep them well maintained to maintain their value. So these RVs and things also require many hours of maintenance and cleaning and things. You like to keep them aesthetically pleasing when you take trips. This storage structure in no way impacts the integrity of the town and the desire to see the town grow in a positive manner or to attract and businesses and families taking our town to the next level and being a desired destination for others. I was personally drawn to the town of Amherst in 2019, and I'd like to see that continue to grow in a positive way. This demonstration by current improvements to my property and the impacts to my local street and neighborhood have created an aesthetic positive impact. That's evident by the neighbors all stopping by, people from the townhouses. I have the president of the Townhouse Association in my presence tonight, in their presence, and they're all seemingly very appreciative of what I've done to the properties, the enhancements by the RV covers, the enhancements of my patios. I've recently acquired property next door to me of a piece of rental property that was seriously neglected for years and years, lots of trash, weeds, and things in the yard. If the mayor looks really hard, he can even see that house. So hopefully once I improve that, we'll see a positive impact to the neighborhood. And hopefully I'll raise the value of all the neighbors' housing and make their market values that much greater. So with that said, to make these improvements, in my opinion, legacy rules and regulations may need to be periodically amended in order to optimize the growth potentials. The current positioning of my RV canopy was dictated by previously constructed items on the lot. This is a pre-engineered structure used throughout the East Coast and manufactured by professional engineers. I chose this structurally stable canopy as opposed to a flexible covering canopy over the camper. These flexible covers tend to get torn and tattered and blow in the wind, and they look ridiculous and are very unsightly to the neighbors and those visitors passing by. By definition, my RV canopy does not necessarily meet the current accessory structure zoning ordinance. Therefore, I respectfully request that the town revise the ordinance 18.1-901.02 to allow up to 300 square feet beyond the front plane of the dwelling and within 5 feet of the sideline, as long as the accessory structure starts behind or alongside of the dwelling structure. In closing, I want to share that discussions and observations from my current experience indicate that the original established layout of the town of Amherst did not account for expansions on individual lots. There are so many small lots, typically 50 feet in width and nature for years in years past, and these minimal lot sizes eliminate the opportunity for property enhancements. So with your consideration to amend that and or send it to planning to have them help us with it and to take that into consideration is greatly appreciated, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Any questions for me?
The way that normally we handle this situation,
sure,
is that it goes to the planning commission, and then they will either recommend it or not recommend, and then send it to us,
sure,
to review. So my suggestion, I think I can, my council will support, is that we will send this back to the planning commission to set a public hearing.
Okay.
And then you can come and speak to the planning commission, and then they can address it, and then they will talk to it, and then they will send it back to us.
Okay.
Does that seem to everybody here? Well, it needs a public hearing so that they can do it instead of just sitting at home.
Why don't we just go to the board of zoning?
Well, it can, but he's asking for a chain amendment to the zoning widespread, just not for him.
Yeah, I got you.
So, and I think the public hearing would serve this better, because if there's other people in the same
situation,
there you go, that's the word, I lost it, they can come and address also. So that's my feeling on that. So with that, unless somebody wants to stop me, okay. Mr. Stinson, thank you very much for coming and presenting. Thank you for the visual aids. I'm a visual learner. But of course, all I do is walk outside my house and I can see.
Hopefully it's aesthetically pleasing to you.
So thank you very much. Mr. Reeson, thank you for coming.
Thanks for your time.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Take care. Thanks for coming. I know my wife will buy me dinner.
All right, next item is the public hearing for the ordinance for the trash cleanup. Right away. Eric?
Yes, sir.
That's all
right. Mr. Mayor and members of council, this ordinance that you have in front of you and the accompanying memo are the same as what you've seen before at our last meeting. Back when the council voted to hold the public hearing. There's not a lot to update you on, other than if you look at the strike-throughs in here, these are simply changes from the last version of the ordinance you looked at. This entire ordinance is new, so normally when you see strike-throughs, it's changes in the existing code, whereas this whole section would be entirely new. Strike-throughs just update the language. If you have any specific questions about it, I'm happy to answer.
We'll get the public hearing, and then we'll come back to you if there's any specific questions.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I am opening the public hearing. Is anybody going to speak on the trash? We need to get the Jeopardy thing.
There's a
sign-up
sheet. There's nothing. Not going to
hold it. I don't believe so.
Yeah, we need to get the Jeopardy thing to plug in as well. Okay. Nobody. Mr. Lansing, well, we can get to that. First, I will entertain a motion to accept the ordinance as we have discussed over the last few months, and Mr. Lansing has presented.
I'll make that motion for you to move forward.
Okay, may I have a second, please?
A second.
A second from Ms. Wheaton. Okay, any discussion, Ms. Paul?
Mr. Mayor, I'm probably being hyper-technical here, but I understand this is a motion to adopt the ordinance.
Yes.
Okay.
Ms. Paul, any discussion? Ms. Watts?
No, sir.
Ms. Turner?
No.
And Ms. Wheaton?
No, sir.
Okay, vote. Ms. Wheaton?
Aye.
Ms. Turner?
Aye.
Mr. Watts?
Aye.
Ms. Carter?
Aye.
Motion carried, 4-0-0-1. Chief, is there anything on the public comments?
Just for the second one, not the first one.
This is the first one.
Well, what, who is for the, what do you have?
Kelly, how old?
Okay, I know that. I think he got mixed up because, Greg
didn't say.
Yeah, for Greg's little daughter autographed.
Oh, no, okay.
That's fine.
Sorry.
That's okay. Kelly, please. And if you will just state your name and your address for this, please.
Kelly Hollowell, 642 South Main Street in Amherst. I'm here in support of the military banner proposal that Ken Watts is going to bring later in the meeting. The military banner is honoring our active duty and veterans of Amherst County. I'm not sure where the parameters are going to be on who can be honored with this. I feel like we're a patriotic community here. I know that when my son graduated high school, they took time to recognize those that were going into military service from the high school. A lot of folks come to Amherst for day trips, and I think that having the banners honoring our servicemen and women would be a great way to display our patriotism and our pride in our military men and women in this community. Our son is currently serving on an aircraft carrier. There are two other graduates from Amherst County High School that are serving in the same carrier strike group in the Navy right now. One's on the destroyer, the other two are on the carrier. So, I mean, even just in that small strike group, we have three represented from Amherst County High School. And especially at this time in our global stuff that's going on, I think it's important that we honor those that are serving our nation. That's it.
Well, thank you very much for your time. You're more than welcome to stay, or you can go, either one.
There you go.
All right. Next item is the consent agenda. I will entertain a motion to accept the minutes as written.
I'll make that motion.
Have a motion from Ms. Turner and a second.
Second.
Second from Ms. Carter. Any discussion? Ms. Wheaton?
Yes, sir.
Ms. Turner?
Yes, sir.
Ms. Watt?
I'm sorry, I wasn't here.
Okay. And Ms. Carter?
No discussion.
Voting. Ms. Carter?
Aye.
Okay, so it will be 3-0-1. Got it. All right, next staff reports are attached. Is there any questions on the reports? Ms. Payne's still here. You're Mr. Payne now, because do you have anything on the Robert E. Lee Soil and Water?
Just that we accepted grant requests, scholarship requests from several students throughout the jurisdiction that we have, and I believe it was awarded to, Lewis, she was an Amherst County graduate, so she would be receiving a grant from, from the Robert E. Lee Soil and Water Conservation District.
All right, thank you very much. See, you come here, you wear two hats. Mr. and Captain.
So yeah.
All right. Anything else on any reports? Any questions? Planning Commission? Anything of note beside the meeting?
No.
Okay. EDA? Ms. Turner, anything of...
No, we just talked about our business visits and we're finding that
present. Okay. Property maintenance investigation?
No,
mm-hmm.
I have not made that.
Okay, and we just took care of the saltwater. Skipping back up, I missed. Finance Committee, Ms. Gordon?
No meeting.
And Mr. Watson.
Same traffic.
Oh, same traffic. All right. Next item is consideration of a public hearing for proposed charter change. So we've had a member request a hearing on a possible potential charter change to delete the provision regarding the expulsion of a member. I am looking for a motion for the hearing and to direct staff to start the procedure for a charter change.
Make that motion.
Okay. Ms.
Wheaton
made the motion. May I have a second?
I think I've made it clear how I feel, but for the purpose of discussion, I will accept the motion.
Okay. And a second from Mr. Watts. So now we're at the discussion point. Ms. Wheaton?
Thank you. Hello. I'm here to discuss deleting Article 3, Administration and Government, Section 1, Subsection 4 of our town charter, which, if approved, would delete with a concurrence of 2/3 expel a council member. Revising the town charter is not new. On September 13, 2017, a vote of 5-0 was carried to proceed with the adoption of an ordinance to amend Article 3, Section 1, 1, and 2 of the town charter, allowing for staggered elections for the town's mayor and town councilors for the town of Amherst by authorizing the town manager to forward a certified copy of these minutes together with an affidavit of the advertised public hearing to the General Assembly of Virginia to amend this. On May 20th, so having said that, there's been discussion on whether this is an appropriate piece to be in our charter, and in the newspaper on May 20th, 2022, it was stated that if a council member conducts themselves in a manner that violates the oath in which they're sworn to uphold the town government in the best interest of all citizens of the town, and it is hindering, controlling, or manipulating town government from being able to conduct its business for the people, then that counselor has become a liability to the best interest of the town, not an asset. That was in an email. That, however, may be true, but my concern is that there is an abuse, a room for abuse of this power. For example, something as simple as one council member showing up wearing orange shoes on a purple shoe day can be expelled. I believe, and I could add more to this, but I believe everyone has read and heard all about why I believe this should be removed. But I believe our voters sent a clear message to council by voting me back into office with 396 votes out of 654, or 60%, cast during the November 2019 election. I do not believe we may override the will of the people. Thank you for allowing me to speak.
Ms. Turner?
Well, I think I've made my position clear. I will repeat this for those that didn't hear it the first couple times. But this exact wording is in the United States Constitution and the Constitution of Virginia. It's there for a reason, and it's here for a reason. And that's with that said, I still maintain my position with this step.
Ms. Clark.
I'm not going to repeat
what's
exact legal verbiage, Mr. Watts has expressed.
Okay. Call for a vote. Ms. Wheaton. Excuse me, I'll clear this.
May I add another comment? Or was that?
Yeah, we've had our comments. So a yes vote here is for the charter check. A no is for not. So you got it?
Right.
You kind of looked off. So, I mean, we got it. Okay. Ms. Wheaton?
Yes.
Ms. Turner?
Yes.
Ms. Watts?
No.
It is motion failed 1-3-0-1. All right, next item is the adoption of the 2023 budget. Ms. McDuffie?
You have
had a public hearing on the budget at your last meeting. Staff is asking you to adopt the budget. We have added an additional sheet. It was in your packet following the budget. It is the fee sheet from the zoning ordinance. As we are going through a recodification on the zoning ordinance, fees are supposed to come out of that code and then be adopted annually with your budget. That fee sheet is the exact thing out of the zoning ordinance. Literally copied out of the ordinance and pasted them so that we're not making any changes to any current fees. But I did want to point out that that wasn't included then.
I will accept a motion to adopt the FY23 budget.
Make that motion.
Have a motion from Ms. Carton, a second from Mr. Watt. Discussion, Ms. Carton.
This is particularly bad here, too.
Yes.
Mr. Watts?
No, sir.
And Ms. Turner?
No comment.
Ms. Whedon? Okay, vote. Ms. Whedon?
Aye.
Ms. Turner?
No.
Mr. Watts?
Aye.
And Ms. Carton?
Aye.
Motion is carried 3-1-0-1. Next is the county waste contract extension.
We have approached County Waste about extending our contract with them. This would be a one-year extension with two additional one-year extensions if we would like to continue with them. All other provisions remain the same. We did circle around to County Waste regarding the trash can ordinance. We had talked to them about it, and then Mr. Lansing added some language in for that, but other than that, terms remain the same. It seems like a very bad time to seek out additional contracts for trash pickup. Prices are not favorable right now, and we have a good deal with them right now. We also, at this time, recommend keeping County Waste because of the recycling situation we have with them. There is no other provider that has as much recycling capability as County Waste has. And, you know, every so often they hear from customers that they're concerned about whether all recycled items really get recycled. But County Waste is doing more than anyone else right now. So staff recommends going with this particular contract extension, and then hopefully things settle down in the economy and we'll look at doing an actual RFP in the coming 1 or 2 years.
So with that, I will accept a motion to take the county waste contract extension.
I'll make that motion.
A motion from Mr. Watts, on the second, please.
Second.
Ms. Turner?
Yes.
Okay. Any discussion, Ms. Whedon?
No.
Ms. Turner? Mr. Watts?
No.
And Ms. Carton? Vote, Ms. Carton?
Aye.
Mr. Watts?
Aye.
Ms. Turner?
Aye.
And Ms. Whedon?
Aye.
4-0-0-1. Next item is the Sweetbriar Water Sewer Agreement.
Yes, sir. So as council knows, we have had a long partnership with Sweetbriar since the 70s for wastewater and since the 90s for water. They used to have their own facilities for both wastewater and water. They were unable to maintain the wastewater facility because DEQ determined they did not have an adequate receiving stream. And then later in the 90s, water also became a regulatory issue. So they have been a capital partner on the wastewater side since the 70s and then have been a bulk customer on water since the 90s. When we started this process, we really did have a few parameters that we were looking for based on the direction from council. And the idea was we were going forward with a revenue neutral agreement. Sweetbriar has a generous deal from the town. We have long-term been a partner with them, and as our one bulk customer and our one capital contributing customer, they have a favorable deal from the town and have since the inception of their agreement. And so we were really looking on maintaining that revenue neutral status on that, not looking for them to pay relatively more or less. And then we wanted to update the agreement for the regulatory changes that have occurred, particularly in the wastewater side. Sweetbriar, and Luther Griffith is here from Sweetbriar, he is their Vice President of Administration and Finance. they had some items they were hoping for. So they were looking for example, to not have water increased by the CPI each year, because that's a relatively volatile measure. So they were looking for that to be changed. And so the water agreement now, instead of being based on CPI each year, they are being treated as a percentage of an in-town customer. And if we raise rates on in-town customers, their rate would go up proportional to that. They were also interested in making water conservation a priority. So they really hold their own feet to the fire by saying their rate will go up as their usage goes down. So their overall amount they pay stays the same, but they're using less water each 4 years until they get to a lower amount that they feel is a more sustainable amount of water. The town had some things we were hoping to get out of this. We were concerned about the way the water obligation was on our point, which was a daily amount, which if they used the daily amount every day was an amount that would require an entire extra shift of folks at the water plant. So we shifted that to a monthly amount, understanding that some days they'll be fed more and some days they'll be fed less, but it still is the amount of water that they really require, even in their heavy usage times. We also wanted to really recognize issues with infiltration and inflow in wastewater, and so we have really tightened up some of the language related to that. Mrs. Turner had a question about a termination clause. We do not have a termination clause on the town side. Sweetbriar does. The reason for that is if the town ceased to provide water sewer services to Sweetbriar, Sweetbriar has no ability to provide them themselves. So this is a customer who, unlike a single family home, they can't just go drill a well or put in a septic tank. They actually would not be able to function. So that's where that is kind of not there on our end, but it is on theirs, because if long term they were going a different direction, they would have time to then plan that out. It would probably take them 5 to 10 years to actually be able to get the appropriate permits and construction to be able to do something like that. And then of course, if it ceases to be a college or a nonprofit institution, that also means that the agreement would cease. So with that, I'm available for questions. Mr. Lansing has been clued into this, and Mr. Griffiths is available for questions for you.
Okay, I am looking for a motion to accept the water and sewer agreement as laid out by the town manager.
I'll make that motion.
A second.
I have a motion from Ms. Clark and a second. Discussion, Ms. Wheaton?
Yes, sir.
Ms. Turner?
I would like to make a statement. I believe that the sewer and water purchase agreement, as it is written, is incomplete. It falls short of excellence for all parties. In this agreement, there is no provision for a termination clause for the town of Amherst. There is no written documentation in this agreement to establish a committee or a commission to oversee or steward this partnership. In addition, as written, this document is asking the council to come into agreement and agree that Sweetbriar College is considered to be inside the corporate limits. I cannot and should not support this agreement as it is written. As we embark on another 20-year partnership with Sweetbriar College, it is my hope that the council will take a pause, evaluate this document to ensure integrity, accuracy, and sustainability for all. We are called to be prudent, execute due diligence.
Mr. Watts?
I sent an email earlier today on my provision. I think everybody's had a chance to study this very well, but over the last several months, the utility committee listened to the principles of the idea, and we were in agreement with the principle of it, and it's pretty much in compliance with the principle. I think to put an exit clause or whatever in there, you run the risk of cutting a future council, maybe cutting service to Sweetbriar, and they're stuck for 10 years with nothing, no way of getting water. So I don't see in this particular case where an exit clause is really beneficial to anybody, and it's certainly detrimental to the college. So that's really all I have to say.
And the only thing I have to add to that is, you know, Sweetbriar has been
our neighbor for a very long time. And I look at it as a good neighborly thing to do, as the town does supply water to Sweetbriar. We know that Sweetbriar has had struggles in the past and is regrowing and regaining speed, which is wonderful, and we're thankful for that, because the students benefit our town as well. So I just see it as a mutual give and take, and knowing that our two entities will hopefully move forward stronger and better in the future. So I look at it as a good neighborly deed to help Sweetbriar continue growing. That's where I stand.
Thank you, Ms. Carter. Vote, Ms. Wheaton.
Aye.
Ms. Turner.
No.
Ms. Watts.
Aye.
And Ms. Carter.
Aye.
Motion carried, 3-1-0-1. Next, Ms. McGuffin, set a public hearing for the FY22 budget amendment.
Because of the grant funds that we have received to fund our police cameras, and because of the ARPA funds that were spent to supplement police salaries and then rolled into to other items, this means that we have exceeded our budget expenditures by 1% or more. And all of these are expenditures that the council has already approved. So this is really just a adoption of the budget as required by state code, and the appropriation of the funds as required by state code. So this is really an end of the fiscal year tidying up of the budget per state code, but there are no new monies expended as part of this. Mrs. Morgan, when she has pulled together the spreadsheet for this, she was very excited to report that the budget, once you have taken in those ARPA funds, and all of the expenditures that you had for capital items, so the lift, property purchase, lease cars, everything that has been done, nothing is coming out of reserves. So everything is coming out of the money that you had already anticipated through ARPA and was able to be taken care of. So just wanted to get that public hearing set. You will be able to have the public hearing and adopt the budget amendment at the same meeting, which is different than when you originally adopt the budget, but the amendment can be done at the same meeting.
Okay, I'll accept a motion to set the public hearing for the budget amendment for 22.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second. Ms. Turner, a second from Mr. Watt. Does anybody have any discussion? Okay, Ms. Carter.
Aye.
Mr. Watt.
Aye.
Ms. Turner.
Aye.
And Ms. Wheaton.
Aye.
Motion carried, 4-0-1. Next item, look, it's back to you. It's about acceptance of land.
It is. This is a little bit complex. This is the first time that I have actually gotten the opportunity to do this, though we have talked about this topic off and on for several years. Towns are enabled by state code to request VDOT maintain up to a quarter of a mile per year as a town addition. This is a right that counties do not have. But a town, because there were so many towns that were platted, you know, before VDOT maintained streets and the towns were maintaining them, then when VDOT came and took that road system, some of these small streets were left behind. So as a town, we can request that a street get added in, and VDOT will pretty much take almost anything up to a quarter of a mile a year. So they have a process where they'll review basic maintenance of it, but they're pretty open. We had talked previously about Amherst County having a segment of road, which is the extension of Lynchburg Road, which if you go down Depot Street, you see the end of Lynchburg Road from Depot Street. If you're up at the visitor center, you see the beginning of Lynchburg Road from the visitor center. The county actually owns the entirety of the right-of-way between the two. VDOT has evaluated what the county owns, and they are willing to accept it as a road. The county has written a deed. They have dedicated that land to the town. We now, on the acceptance by the council, the town would own this land fee simple. The land also has a stormwater detention pond. We have to accept the agreement to maintain that stormwater detention pond just like we do the ones at the industrial park. VDOT won't own that. We will still own that just as we will own fee simple, the right of way for this road. And then finally, once you have taken the land from the county, adopted the agreement with VDOT for the stormwater facility, I would finally ask that you set a public hearing for next month to then request VDOT take this right of way and do the maintenance of the roadway. So just, I know you all have, we've talked about this previously, the plat that the county had done, and if you remember, council authorized the town paying for half of this plat cost. So this has already been dedicated to the town. So I'm looking for number one, an acceptance of the land, and number two, acceptance of the agreement for stormwater with VDOT, and number three, setting it a public hearing for next month to ask VDOT to maintain this.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
At one point, I know that VDOT wouldn't take roads unless they were up to state specification already. Is that still the rule?
No, sir.
Good. That's all I need.
So VDOT, essentially the person who's the head of our residency, which is Mr. Robert Brown, has to agree to take the road. But Lynchburg Road, in fact, is still not completed. And it was interesting because we had a meeting with VDOT and the county and myself. And VDOT was saying, yes, we'll take it. That's a really small segment of road to complete. And we don't see that as a major construction issue. And Mr. Rogers with the county started asking questions about, but how would this work and how would that work? And I just said, say thank you. Because VDOT said, in essence, this is, for them, a very small section of roadway, and they, as well as the town and the county, see the benefit in making this connection. This is a far superior connection to that section of Depot Street and going to Union Hill than the current path to get there. So VDOT really saw this as a benefit for everyone in the community, and they were happy to complete it. So you're really just, you know, we try to be good partners with VDOT because VDOT is being a very good partner to us in this.
So do I need to ask for two motions, or can I lump this all in, or three motions?
I think Mrs. Carton is going to give you.
You got it? Okay, Ms. Carton's going to run the show. Ms. Carton.
I'm going to make a motion that we authorize staff to execute the deed to accept the land donation from the county.
Okay.
One. And
I guess we're going to do them all at one time. I mean,
do you want separate motions?
I think.
Is that legally clear?
We need to do them one at a time.
Okay.
So once one motion is made,
I'm
going to
make that motion that we execute the deed and accept the land.
I'm looking for a second.
I'll second it.
Okay, Ms. Turner. In the discussion, Ms. Wheaton?
No.
Ms. Turner?
No.
Mr. Watt?
No, sir.
And Ms. Cole.
I just want to clarify again for my own ears, VDOT is going to complete the road.
Yes, Mr. Brown.
Because there's no road there.
There is no road there. The VDOT knows that.
Okay.
And Mr. Brown said that they could do that out of maintenance funds in the residency.
And they'll take care of the runoff and do everything.
So we will have to maintain the detention pond. That's number
right,
two.
But I mean, when they make the road, they'll make way for the water to run off correctly. They're not just going to slap some tar down and call it a road.
That's what they
do.
Okay.
They can't do that,
I know. I just want to make sure because, you know, they're building us a free road.
Okay. Now. Vote. Ms. Wheaton?
Aye.
Ms. Turner?
Aye.
Mr. Watts?
Aye.
Ms. Carter?
Aye.
Motion carried. 4-0-0-1. And in case anybody keeps wondering why I put that one at the end, we have one council member missing. So that's why I'm just throwing that one there.
Okay, I'm going to make a motion.
There you go.
That we adopt the agreement with VDOT for the stormwater facility.
Okay. Entertain a second.
I'll second it.
A second. Discussion? Ms. Wheat?
No.
Ms. Turner?
No.
Mr. Watts?
No.
Ms. Carter?
No discussion.
Vote. Ms. Carter?
Aye.
Mr. Watts?
That's me.
Yes. It took me a minute. Ms. Turner?
Aye.
And Ms. Wheat?
Aye.
That motion is carried a 4-0-0-1.
All right. I make a motion that we set a public hearing for the request of VDOT for maintenance of the road.
Fantastic.
And, we'll second
second. And you'll second that one too? Okay. Now, any discussion, Ms. Carton?
No.
Mr. Watts?
No, sir.
Ms. Turner?
No.
And Ms. Wheaton?
No.
Vote. Ms. Wheaton?
Aye.
Ms. Turner? Ms. Wheaton. I'm sorry. I said Ms. Wheaton's. I'm sorry.
No worries.
Ms. Turner? Mr. Watts?
Watts.
And aye. Ms. Carton?
Aye.
Motion carried 4-0-0-1. Okay, next item
Mr. Lanson, this is the provisions for the skateboard.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. We have in front of us now four options, all of which have been requested by various members of council. The first two of them are almost identical, so I've labeled them as A1 and A2. A1 and A2 both involve essentially taking the ordinance that we already have, changing the penalty so that it's no longer a class 4 misdemeanor, and simply turning it into a $50 civil penalty, and restricting our regulations on skateboards and bicycles, just skateboards, to the central business district. The difference between A1 and A2 is that A1 would be limited to certain hours, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. A2 would be any time of day, any time of week. So that's A1 and A2. They're very similar to each other. A2 was requested to me by Ms. Turner, who asked that we just remove the time frame in there and just make it all week long, all day long. Option B was requested by Ms. Wheaton. That simply involves repealing both sections completely, so we would no longer have any regulations on bicycles or skateboards in our town code. Option C is the option that started off as a suggestion by staff, and especially by Mrs. McGuffin, and Mrs. Carton has made a few requested revisions to that. It essentially allows people to ride bicycles and skateboards, but if you do, there are some restrictions on safety with respect to how you do it. You're not allowed to interfere with a business conducting its trade. You have to yield to pedestrians and so on. The last thing I'll just mention on this is we have these four options, and not all of them are mutually exclusive. Option C can be adopted with any of the first three, any one of the first three. I hope that's not terribly overcomplicating it. But if you want to repeal our regulations, our prohibition on bicycles and skateboards, you can do that, but also require that they be done safely. Or you can allow them and require them to be done safely. So with that said, my recommendation, because this is so complex, I think Robert's Rules really helps us in this respect. This is where Robert's Rules become especially helpful. And I would recommend that the council take a straight up or down vote on whether to advertise any of these four options for a public hearing, if there is a motion with respect to any of them.
Okay, so we discussed this, Mr. Lanson and I, Ms. Carter and Ms. McGuffin and I. We discussed this to try to figure out how to do this with these four proposals. So the conclusion we came to was, I'm going to ask for a motion for one option A1. If we get a motion for A1, then we get a second, then we do our vote. I'm going to do that all the way down. A2, then B, then C. And we'll see where we land after we go through all of these. So, do we all have that? Got it? Okay. So now, I will entertain a motion on option A1.
I will make that motion.
Okay. And that is no person shall allow. Okay. So, I have that motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, I have a second. Now, is there any discussion? Ms. Wheaton.
May I ask a question of the chief? Is it a matter of record? Other than Ms. Turner's complaint, have there been any complaints from the town regarding skateboarders, an official report filed with you or your office?
I
I cannot recall the time that we being the chief here in the 4-year period. I don't have any complaints. There may have been one prior to me. Welcome to ask Captain King, who was working here at that time, but I have not officially received any complaints.
Do you call any complaints?
There was a complaint for Bank of the James. They were behind the building. We talked to them, and they came out in the front, and that's what the complaint was, because they were behind the bank at nighttime hours. But
how long ago was that approximately?
2 years.
It doesn't have to be.
I honestly don't recall. It was within 5 years. I know that.
Okay, so two complaints. I think shutting down our town because of two complaints is unreasonable, and we can always revisit this later. I think it ought to be eliminated, but I will say that that's not fine.
And Ms. Turner?
I believe in order for the police department to do their job and to be able to police the central business district, and have cause to be able to tell these skateboarders to leave, it needs to be no skating on the sidewalk. It just needs to be, it's not safe. And I understand that I seem to be the only complainant, but I'm on Main Street, and I'm in many buildings on Main Street, and it really is a problem. And I went to the central business district's businesses and asked them to send what their experiences were to the town, which all of them did. So if you read those, you would know that there is a bigger problem than just the two complaints that the police department has had over the course of 10 years. I don't see how you can enforce any other option that's being presented tonight. I just don't see how you can do it unless you say no skateboards.
What? So before last night, I was set to go or say my opinion as far as I thought maybe after hours would be okay. But I happened to be riding down Main Street last night, and this has nothing to do with the sidewalk. Ms. Turner was directly in front of me. I don't think she saw it. As I passed East Port Street, a skateboard came flying off of it, made a hard left onto Main Street, a wide turn, and almost made it to the front of the car. The car had to swerve. So that changed my mind last night.
Can I ask a question? Mm-hmm. Were they on the sidewalk?
No, it had nothing to do with the sidewalk. He was coming down East Court Street, made a hard left on the South Bank, and it was wide, and there was a car coming at him. So that car had to swerve. But it had nothing to do with the sidewalk.
So that means if they're in the street, they can get hit. That's a prime example. So they shouldn't be on the street, maybe they should be on the sidewalk.
Maybe they shouldn't be in the district.
I don't agree with that statement, respectfully.
Right.
This is the one with the time frame.
This is the one
Monday
with the time frame.
Monday through Saturday from 7 to 6.
That's the first right?
No. No, because the next one's down like...
You did bicycle.
Yeah, this is one A1.
This is option A1 in that box.
I am so...
All right, well, we have a motion and a second. We've all discussed. So let's vote on A1.
Sure. And Mrs. Turner, if you would like to withdraw your motion, I don't think it's too late for her to do that if she wishes to.
Well, we can, we can just vote it however.
Either way.
Yeah.
So option A1 would read as follows. Section 20-8 of the town code would be amended to read, no person shall ride a bicycle on a sidewalk. Each violation of this section shall be punishable by a civil penalty of $50. And section 20-9 would be amended to read, no person shall ride a skateboard on a sidewalk in the central business district, as that district is defined in the Amherst zoning map, from Monday through Saturday from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Each violation of this article shall be punishable by a civil penalty of $50.
Okay, so we have a motion, we have a second. So now we're going to vote on option A1.
Ms. Sweet?
No.
Ms. Turner?
No.
Mr. Waller?
No.
And Ms. Cole?
No.
Motion defeated, 0-4-0-1. All right, A2. Ms. Turner, your motion, please.
I will make a motion for option 2A.
Okay, Mr. Watts, do you want to?
I'll second.
You second that? Okay. So now, I'm just going to ask in general, is there any discussion? Because it seems we've discussed it.
Yes.
In the first time, there is, okay, go ahead.
I have discussion. I don't know how to do this with Robert's rules, Mr. Lansing. I appreciate option A2, but I want to tag on option C with the language of option A2. For, and I will tell you the reason why, being since this already takes care of the Central Business District, and we've heard from many businesses today, and I witnessed my own thing last night taking a walk of violations on businesses last evening at 7 o'clock with wild behavior, and I was very concerned and stopped because I thought someone was going to get injured and didn't say anything, so, but I just, you know, monitored. And the group dispersed and went about, you know, went home or wherever they went. I don't know if they left the business district. Anyhow, I would like to tap on option C, and if everyone read the language for option C, is for North Main Street sidewalks and South Main Street sidewalks for simply the courtesy of pedestrians on the sidewalk or elderly on the sidewalk or handicapped on the sidewalk. Whatever that looks like. And option C in a nutshell says that they will get off the sidewalk and make way and be courteous and allow people that are walking on the sidewalk to stay on the sidewalk so they don't have to walk in the street. So, because we do have a multimodal lane, which is bikes, skateboards, whatever you want to do in that lane. That's supposed to be a protected lane. So that's why I want to put on option C, that if there are families walking or a lady with a stroller with a baby, they should be courteous and jump down into that lane and continue on their way. And if they want to get back up on the sidewalk, but it's safe to do so, then I'm fine with that. And north and south of the business district. That's what I think this package looks like.
Okay. That'd be a separate motion.
Well,
that's why I said I don't.
Yes,
have to do
yes.
That.
Yeah. What that will be, you can
advise
the way. I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, she can ask you a many motion. And
I really think, and tell me if you don't agree. I think that if you want A2, you vote yes on A2, and then when we get to the third option that you also want, you also vote yes on that.
Okay, I wasn't sure
how do we
do this?
Okay. You let them do that.
Okay.
Because remember, you're just advertising for public hearing. What
right.
we need is an instruction to go forward with what your public hearing is going to have.
Okay.
So if you all vote yes on A2 and you vote yes on another one, then we will advertise both of those options. Right now, you've gotten rid of one of them altogether, so we're going to work through so we know what we're going to advertise. There's no reason we can't advertise multiple options or combinations thereof for public hearing.
Okay.
All right, because, well, my one
Good.
Question was
that sounds fine to me.
If everybody was in agreement and it comes in when you mesh these two, they basically made A2C. And just, you know, just.
Well, let me just keep on with this.
Let him work.
All right, let him work. Okay, further discussion. Vote. Ms. Wheat?
No.
Ms. Turner?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, I'm unclear on what the motion is. Is the motion to adopt A2?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Can I ask a question? Is the motion to set a public hearing on A2?
Yes.
And not
yes.
adopt it?
Correct.
Is that
yeah,
correct? Because we're not really adopting
right,
it.
No.
The moment.
Public
it's to set
hearing.
A public
sorry,
hearing on an adoption of that. I'm just clearing it up for my minutes.
Yes.
Is that right?
And it was Mrs. I'm sorry, what was the question?
I said, instead of a motion to adopt A2, it's a motion to set a public hearing to adopt
exactly.
A2.
Yes.
Yeah.
With all of them.
Okay.
You straightened us out.
With all of them.
Yeah, okay. We're a no, a yes,
Yes.
Aye.
Okay, so we have, motion is carried, 3-1-0-1. Now we have option B, which, Mr. Anson?
Option B is simply to repeal the whole thing. Repeal all of the existing regulations on bicycles and skateboards.
All right. So I will entertain a motion for that.
I'll make that motion.
A motion from Ms. Green. Is there a second?
May I second?
Yeah. Motion dies with no second.
May I comment? Is there a chance to comment even though it died?
We didn't get a second, so.
No comment.
Yeah, I think it's done.
Is that correct with the
Robert's rules? Yeah, you can only comment after the second.
I know this is unusual. Technically, the purpose of the second is to forward conversation, but a motion doesn't die for lack of a second. You just go on.
I thought it was in our charter that it.
You know what? I think you're right.
In
yeah,
our charter,
yeah, I think you're right.
Yes,
yeah.
We discussed that last month.
Okay.
And you said that. Oh, that surprises me that it's in our charter.
Yes.
So yeah, that's in our charter. It has to have a second.
Thanks for that reminder. Okay, so it dies for a second.
It dies.
I withdraw my advice.
Okay, now let's go to C. And Ms. Wheaton, we are aware of your concerns, as you have expressed it here tonight very eloquently. And before, so we are aware, and your concerns are on record, so we all aware of that.
Correct, because theirs are as well. That's why I'd love to.
Yeah,
validate a comment on the next one. Thank you.
Okay. All right, option C.
I'll make the motion for that. Okay,
go
for public
hearing. For a public
hearing.
Can you read that motion to me?
I'd be happy to.
Thank you.
And also, Mrs. Carton, I think you wanted to amend option C, so if you could just point out the language that,
yes,
that you would like to have changed.
Oh, because that is not the new one up there. That's not the amended language.
I didn't know that.
This is not
the five. Is that not the amended?
Yes, it is.
Y'all have a printout of the
yeah.
one that's
okay.
amended.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have the one up here that you emailed to me. The one that's on the screen is the one you emailed
okay.
to me.
Okay.
Yes. Let me make sure that I am reading from the correct version, because we did change that this afternoon by Mrs. Carton's request. Okay. This is a mouthful, bear with me, but subsection A, I wrote it all, so I take responsibility for the mouthful. Subsection A, a person riding a bicycle or skateboard on a sidewalk or across a roadway on a crosswalk shall yield the right-of-way to any pedestrian and shall give an audible signal before overtaking and passing any pedestrian. Subsection B, no person riding a skateboard on a sidewalk shall thereby, 1, interfere with a business conducting its trade, 2, interfere with access to or egress from any building open to the public, including but not limited to any business, office, school, government building, place of worship, or assembly hall, or 3, use a sidewalk for tricks or stunts without purpose of transportation. 3, interfere for purposes of subsection B shall mean to hinder, delay, or obstruct. Factors for determining interference include 1, the extent and duration of the skateboarder's presence in front of a business or building. 2, whether the skateboarder was traveling to a fixed location or going back and forth in front of the business or building. 3, whether the skateboarder was asked to leave by any owner, shopkeeper, or patron, member, staff, person, or other individual having a legitimate interest in the business, building, or its affairs. 4, the extent of hazard or difficulty imposed by the skateboarder on any individual trying to patronize or support the business or building. And 5, the speed of the skateboard and its proximity to any individual, vehicles, windows, or other damageable property in its path. That's the new language right there. Subsection D, each violation of the section shall be punishable by a civil penalty of not more than $50.
Okay.
May we question this?
We haven't got there yet.
I know, okay. Just to make sure.
All right. You made the motion.
I made the motion.
I'll second it.
Okay. Ms. Turner seconded it, all right. And so now, we're at the discussion point. Now, Ms. Wheaton.
Oh, dear Lord, who's going to maintain, and who's going to do all that? Who's responsible for all of those? Are you guys going to carry a little book and go through the, you can't even find the ones that have caused problems so far. I mean, the two have been cited. I mean, are we taking up our police officers' time for something like this? Are we putting our children in harm's way in the middle of the street to be hit by a vehicle? I think this is ridiculous. I'm sorry. I'm passionate about it because I do not think there's a problem. I think people are coming out of the woodwork. No one showed up to discuss it. We've had people speak against it, but no one for it. And I just think it's a waste of taxpayers' time to burden our police officers. They are accredited. They are well-known. They have worked themselves to keep our town safe. If they wear a bulletproof vest, and you want them chasing down a toddler or a five-year-old or a seven-year-old in the, on a sidewalk or even, and then put them in the street, I think it's ridiculous. I'm sorry. Thank you for all this.
Okay. Ms. Turner?
No comment.
Mr. Watts?
We have had businesses contact us in the last day or so.
Correct. But they right. haven't been in here. Where are they?
I suppose they'll come to the public hearing. I don't
know. Okay, I hope they will.
And Ms.
This week, your dramatics are just ridiculous.
I'm that passionate.
I'm sorry. Skateboard, 7-year-olds skateboarding on a sidewalk are not dangerous, okay? That's just ridiculous. I'm sorry. The reason why we put ordinances into effect is when we have an issue, we can call a police officer to take control of the issue. If we have nothing on the books, guess what our police officers do when a homeowner or a business call? They say, sorry, I can't do anything.
They haven't called yet.
It doesn't matter. We are governed with the future, not the now. It is our jobs as counselors to look to the future. And Ms. Wheaton, last night I witnessed a group of three young men, teenagers, not 7-year-olds, out on their own on the front of the Wells Fargo bank, jumping and doing tricks and crashing on the sides. And it to me, they have no right to be on that property.
Did you call the police department to report it?
No, I did not, because we have nothing on the books.
But just to have a witness to talk to?
I have a witness, my husband and the rest of my family that were walking, and the Thompsons who were right next door. So we have plenty of witnesses. Here's the fact. They weren't doing anything wrong. They did not bother me. My problem is when they crash and break a leg or crash the glass doors of that building, it is then going to be a very large problem.
Whose problem is it going to be if they get hit in the middle of the street?
They weren't in the street.
In the future, who's going to be responsible?
Listen, it's not our responsibility to keep people in or out of the street. It's our responsibility to keep our businesses safe, to people coming in and out of our businesses for egress and going in and out of these buildings safely that we hardly have a sidewalk for. It is not our responsibility to keep people safe that want to ride a bike and ride a skateboard. They do that where they may, but our responsibility lies taking care of our shop owners and our business owners and the rest of the people that want to walk on a sidewalk the way they should be able to walk on a sidewalk.
Well, I agree for the same for the skateboarders and cyclists, and I resent you commenting about my theatrics. That's not acceptable to me.
Well, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I've had enough of it.
Okay.
I've had enough of it.
All right. Okay. That's it. Calling for a vote. Ms. Wheaton?
No.
Ms. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Watt?
Yes.
And Ms. Carter?
Aye.
Motion is carried. 3-1-0-1. This is going to be added in with the public hearing next time. Ms. McGuffin, we have some reappointments. Do we have anybody to reappoint, or do we still hunting for members?
We are doing both. So in your packet, go to that memo, very far down this list. In your packet, you have a number of folks who have said they are willing to be reappointed. So you've got, I think, a planning commissioner. Here we go. Okay. Ann Webster Day is willing to serve again. John Vanderbilt is willing to serve again on the Planning Commission. We need an appointee on the Board of Zoning Appeals. Mr. Hensley does not wish to be appointed again by the Circuit Court. Mrs. Turner is willing to serve again on the Economic Development Authority. Mr. Stein is not, so you need an appointee there. And Mrs. Kirkwood is willing to serve again on the Property Maintenance Board. So you do have two folks that you need to replace, but then you also have a panel of folks who are willing to serve.
Can we go ahead and just do that, the panel in one lump, take a motion to approve the panel as presented to fill vacancies?
I have no objection to that.
All right, brother. There we go. I will entertain a motion to approve the panel of people that have expressed interest in returning to the committees that they were appointed to.
I'll make that motion.
Okay,
I'll second.
And I have a second from Ms. Wheaton, and a motion was made by Ms. Carton. Is there any discussion? No discussion? Ms. Wheaton?
Aye.
Ms. Carton? Mr. Watts?
Aye.
And Ms. Carton?
Aye.
So that is 3-0-1-1. All right. Next item is public hearing. Set a public hearing for zoning ordinance recodification.
As I'm sure you noticed, your packet was particularly long this time. The zoning ordinance recodification document was included in that. The Planning Commission has gone through the entire zoning ordinance as we were working towards sending the draft off to Muni Code. They went through the changes at their previous meeting, and then they are holding a public hearing next month. We would like to go ahead and double advertise for the public hearing. So have the Planning Commission hold their public hearing at their meeting in June. Have you hold your public hearing at your meeting in June. We do have a hard deadline with Muni Code that if we do not meet, we will pay additional money. I believe we have time that if council had their public hearing in June, they could still adopt in July, yes? Or are we going to hit it if we go into July?
They just said July. They didn't give me a day in July, so I would have to check on that. But
so
it is July.
If we thought you needed more time, we would definitely want to make sure we got with Muni Code that we could adopt in July. But at the very least, we'd like to go ahead and ask you to set the public hearing for your June meeting and keep this moving forward. As I said, Planning Commission's been working on this for some time. And we did include for you the entirety of the draft so that if you've got any questions, you can let myself or Ms. Hunt know.
Okay, I will accept the motion to set the public hearing for the zoning ordinance.
I'll make that motion.
Motion, Ms. Turner, may I have a second?
I'll second.
Second from Ms. Carton. Any discussion? Ms. Wheaton?
Yes.
Ms. Turner?
No.
Mr. Watts?
No.
Ms. Carton?
Yes.
Voting, Ms. Carton?
Aye.
Mr. Watts?
Aye.
Ms. Turner?
Aye.
Ms. Wheaton?
Aye.
Motion carries 4-0-0-1. Next item. Hey, we get to change up. Mr. Watts, it's you.
It's me. Okay. So I sent you all an email, and with essentially this banner in it. I had a citizen suggest this to me, and I thought it was a pretty good idea. And my idea would be to allow friends, family, community members to sponsor a flag for a particular soldier or service person. And then the town would in turn install it. That would give the families of these people, well, it would save us some money too, but it would give the families a feeling that they're invested in this and they're part of the program. And so I would like to throw that out there and see what council thinks about it.
When you say the word install, what does that look like?
The crew taking the lift and putting it on pole, just like they do with Christmas lights.
On,
and
on the poles?
Yeah.
Throughout Main Street or down? What is, I mean,
well, I had, you know, I think any place in town is acceptable to me as long as the family's happy with the location.
All right, I have a suggestion.
Sure.
I'll jump in and then I'll tell you to be quiet. This deals with the utility poles. Mm-hmm. It deals with putting stuff up. Mm-hmm. I really think this should go to the utilities committee because I think they should set the parameters and find out, you know, about who can do these flags or what the flags can be, you know, specifically what they can be done, just not for anybody. And I think if y'all set out the parameters and then bring it back to council, well, we've got something to sit here and go, oh, okay, so they pay this, this stays up how long, and stuff like that, and it gets brought back to us, and we've got something tangible that we can look at instead of saying, and it's an excellent idea, mm-hmm. I mean, by far, but I think we kind of need some rules.
Okay.
And so I would like, if I could just get a consensus, I would like to send it to the utilities committee and get them to bring us back a product of what we're going to see with rules and stuff. Is that acceptable to everybody?
May I ask any question?
Okay.
Are the poles set up right now so this will be easier? Is there going to have to be some kind of... I say that because back in the day when we were on the decorating committee for the lights, we thought about doing some of this for decorative or Christmas flags. And there was something to do with installing them on those poles. So I think it's an excellent idea.
Yeah, okay.
But I think there's... I
don't well, that's what these guys.
Okay, but I'm thinking there's something.
The team has already checked with APCO, and APCO's good with it. But, you know.
Anyway.
And I think your question is a different question than what I answered with APCO, because my question would APCO give us permission?
Right.
And APCO's answer to that is basically anywhere we've already given you permission for the lights, you would also have permission to do this. Mm-hmm. But then the question of what kind of framework do we use and how does that get attached? Yes, we would need to get Mr. Thompson
in on this conversation. That's the person
to ask right there. I mean, that's something that, that's why I wanted to send it to these guys.
That was a question years ago when you were thinking about the number of that committee.
The biggest option will be on clearance. How much clearance you got to be at least 10 foot from us.
Right, it's right there.
I forgot. Yeah.
That's going to be your hurdle.
Okay.
All right.
Do these require VDOT permits?
Do what?
Will they require VDOT permits? To do
no, we shouldn't.
They won't hang over the street.
If they're in the public right-of-way, they certainly will.
Okay. Do they have to do that for me?
Anything that's in the public right-of-way, any sign in the public right-of-way, the lights, I think they treat differently. A sign in the public right-of-way.
Well, we'll put a little LED light on top of them, and there'll be lights.
Okay. we can do that probably presents.
Yeah.
May I request the utilities committee take into account currently what the county has done with those flags as a notation that we don't want to be that cluttered? Is there some way that we, in this plan, down through Mads and Mates, we don't have all the distraction of everything that's going on all the poles and all of that? I don't want to see our town, I guess what I'm trying to communicate is I don't want to see our town looking that cluttered.
Right. Okay.
I love it, but I'm concerned about the clutter visual aspect. Because when you drive into town, we see the mountains and it's beautiful and that's what people love. And so I, just as from an aesthetic standpoint.
We could come up with something with parts of space and element or something. Yeah, sure.
I would just like that thought process.
Okay. Alrighty then, matters from staff. Ms. Hunt?
No.
Jeez.
Yes. The parade and July 4th celebration is currently on its way. It's been promoted. Thank you, Ms. Vicky, for helping us get this.
Trying to ride the new coast.
Yep, so make sure they get their if you know anybody wants to be in the parade, please get in touch with us. We have a thing on our Facebook in town Facebook webpage is to get listed, and it's well on its way.
Okay, great. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
Would you like to say anything?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good, thank you.
You've gone from Mr. Payne to Captain now.
Well, actually, he has to sing the national anthem as well.
Mr. Thompson?
Nothing to me, sir.
Mr. Williams?
Nothing at this time, sir.
Thank you very much. Ms. McDuffie?
You've heard from me enough.
Mr. Lance?
I think you've probably heard from me enough as well.
Okay. Matters from, how did you get her first?
I did.
You were asleep.
I was.
Matters from staff, from council, Ms. Wheaton?
Yes, sir.
Ms. Turner?
Yeah.
Mr. Wise? I said it. Okay. Unless somebody wrote on the chair back there, I see no other names for citizens' comments. So I will accept a motion to adjourn. I got it from Ms. Carter, do you have a second? A second from Ms. Wheaton, from Ms. Turner, a vote, Ms. Wheaton. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.